edition of the Mouth of the Time podcast. Things are going pretty swimmingly for Newcastle United at the moment, and I'm joined here, as ever, by Miles Starforth and Joe Buck. Guys, how are you two doing at the moment? Three good wins for Newcastle.
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, and you're right, swimmingly. You don't want to look too far ahead with this club, because invariably everything that can go wrong does go wrong. I guess we'll get on to Trippier in a bit. But all very positive when you think where we were just a month or so ago.
Absolutely. I was going to say, you've got to, when you get three wins in a row, you've got to make the most of it. You've got to enjoy these moments, because as you say, anything can happen with Newcastle United, but it's been a nice few games, like, very good.
Yeah, it's been fairly positive on the Mouth of the Time podcast past few times we've been on, whether it be transfer news, positive transfer news, the wins against the likes of Leeds, Everton, and now Aston Villa, 1-0 on Sunday at St James's Park. Kieran Trippier's free kick, the difference, obviously, like Miles alluded to just before, a slight disappointment with his injury as well. But Miles, that Villa game, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, it was a game where they certainly weren't at their best. I think that's, you know, Eddie Howe said as much before the game. But you know, people have always said, you know, if you're winning games when you're not at the best, it's a sign of a good team, and I think that's a sign of an improving team. There wasn't probably much in the game for the first half, but you know, Trippier's that little bit of quality has made all the difference. A very positive result, really.
Yeah, and it's now two clean sheets in the last three games for Newcastle. And I don't think that's any small part down to the likes of Dan Byrne making his debut, and Fabian Cher, his form under Eddie Howe's really improved as well. And Joe, what did you make of Dan Byrne's debut? He got plenty of plaudits, named man of the match as well. An excellent performance from him.
Yeah, it was great. It was pretty much perfect. From the minute, I think in the first minute, he sort of chested a ball down. It was like a long haul football. And from as soon as he did that, he thought, oh, you know, he's settled here. And he just adds that composure at the back. You know, him, especially with Fabian Cher, they both like to play play on the ball. And they just both look really composed. And that's a complete world away from the defence that we had at the beginning of the season, really. So it was really impressive. Really, really impressive.
Yeah, Miles, Dan Byrne, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. He's only played one game, but a local lad. He's got the makings of a bit of a cult hero at Newcastle.
Yeah, for me, this is probably, we've all talked a lot about Bruno Guimaraes, but Byrne was probably the story of the transfer window in terms of what the move meant for him. You know, I've been reading interviews with Dan Byrne in the Brighton programme and, you know, in online for years now about his affinity with the club, his background. So we all knew where we'd come from. You know, he'd been working in a supermarket. It didn't look like he was going to have a career in the game. But what a story for every young player, every aspiring young player. This is a guy who was let go by the academy at a young age. You know, wasn't quite developing as quickly as his body. And he's done it the hard way. He's worked his way up the leagues and he's established himself as a Premier League player. Terrific story. And like as Joe said, I think a couple of early contributions to that game really settled him down. He would have probably been a bit more nervous than the other signings, given what it meant to him and his family. He won more or less everything at the back in terms of aerially, as you'd expect, given his size. But also, again, as Joe's also said, with his feet, he didn't do much wrong. Very commanding presence. And it does bode well for the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, and especially we were singing Jamal Lascelles' praises last time on the Mouth of the Time podcast. He's improved his form and he was a miss on Sunday, but then Dan Byrne just stepped in and really commanded that back line really well, which was changing either side of him as well. You have to think Javier Manquillo on the left, he was withdrawn due to injury. Kieran Trippier on the right. There was a bit of a reshuffle, and that's probably the one downside to the afternoon, man.
Yeah. You know, first Callum Wilson, then Kieran Trippier. If there's two players out of your strongest 11, you don't want to lose. It would be those two players. Yet it looks like both are going to be out until the final few games. As soon as he went down and signaled to the bench, you knew it was a bad one. He's a tough player. We've seen him play on with a number of knocks. He's been kicked. He's he's been hurt in games, but he's always carried on. But he just put the ball out at the weekend, and that's when you started to worry. And in terms of, we now know it's a fracture of the fifth metatarsal. It'll need surgery. And we look at it between 2 and 3 months, which does put him right at the back end of the season when we could be seeing him again. And I don't think, certainly I've been covering this club for more than 20 years, and there's not been too many generally world-class players at this club in that time. There's been some very good players, don't get me wrong, but not too many world-class players. But Shearer, of course, was one. There's been one or two others, but you'd certainly put him in that bracket right up there. And what a contribution he's made in just a short space of time in terms of his leadership, in terms of what he's done out of possession, what he's done in possession. We've seen the free kicks, the deliveries at the box, and he's just one of those players, much like Jonathan Woodgate, he's clever enough to be in the right place at the right time, week in, week out, and he'll be a big loss. And they did lose that composure a little bit on that side after he went off. So let's hope, certainly we've touched on Manquillo, he went off, ankle ligament damage. We'll have to see the extent of that, but he certainly needed over the coming weeks.
Yeah, and Kieran Trippier bringing goals to his game as well for Newcastle as well, which is something he didn't get on the score sheet for Atletico Madrid, and he only scored twice in the Premier League for Tottenham. So he's already equaled or doubled his Premier League tally in 4 games at Newcastle. But like you say, his contributions have made an impact for Newcastle, now 4 points clear of the relegation zone with the game in hand on Norwich, who are 18th. Joe, how big is that? Just even though Trippier will be a big miss, to have that sort of breathing room, if you like, could potentially be 7 points clear if they beat West Ham in the early kickoff as well.
Yeah, it's huge. It's, as you say, it's just a psychological boost of not just being out of the relegation zone, but being fairly clear of it as well. You know, that Norwich have to overturn 2 results, really. And it's been a brilliant last few games. And, you know, against Everton, they were really impressive. But against Villa, they had to do it the hard way. They had to, you know, they had to defend. It wasn't pretty. Actually, a lot of it wasn't pretty, but they did exactly what they needed to do and deserved. I thought they deserved the 3 points. I'm probably a bit biased on that because Villa did have a lot of chances, but they were.
Well, it was interesting. You know, listen to Stephen Gerrard after the game. You could have thought some managers would have come on and they'd have grumbled about the decisions that didn't go their way. He straight up said they weren't at their best, didn't deserve anything out of the game, which is, he wasn't saying, especially praising Newcastle United, but we know they weren't at their best. We'd watched it, but he certainly didn't quibble about the result, which was kind of refreshing, really.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Like, you look at the game, or look at the last 3 games, really, and other than that, Martin Dubravka save from Dan James down at Leeds, you can't really think of any meaningful save he's had to make the last 3 games. And I made that point after the game where it's been, okay, Newcastle weren't at the absolute best on Sunday, but they were never real in serious trouble other than that VAR goal that obviously got disallowed. But they've been comfortable in these games. And going into West Ham away, West Ham doing well, there's confidence there, and that's going to be a really important thing moving forward, Miles.
Yeah, and this is a stadium that the club's had some success at over the past few years. So we'll see. And before these 3 games, you look at every game and you think, how are they going to get something from this game? How are they going to get this win? How are they? 3 wins changes everything. All of a sudden, you're thinking, yeah, you know, if they play like they have done, there's every chance of getting a point, maybe more. It just does transform everything, and certainly confidence, because we'd spoken about a few times, things, various metrics had improved under Howe, and things you can't measure as well in terms of the positivity, the atmosphere. But what hadn't improved was results, and you all look for a new manager bounce, and there wasn't a bounce with Eddie Howe in terms of results. The club didn't win 2 or 3 in the spin. It didn't take, you know, a large number of points in his first few games, but you've seen things which have improved week in, week out. There's more of an identity. There's a way of playing. We've seen individual players improve. You know, Fabian Scher's come back into the team. He's got his fitness back and his sharpness. He looks the player role. You've touched on Lascelles and the Shelvey, there's De Linton. All these things add up, and finally we've seen performances and results. Again, you know, putting Trippier's injury to one side, it bodes well for the coming weeks.
Yeah, and just staying with the injury side of things, Trippier out, Manquillo almost definitely out as well. It's going to have to be a bit of a reshuffle at the back. I'll pose this question to both you guys. How would you want to see Newcastle line up in terms of the back four, back five, back three, whatever it may be?
I think they've got a way of playing a shape, a system. They've got to stick with this now. Steve Bruce time and again had tried to transition to a back four. It never really worked in the long term. And he would revert back to more a back five or a back three, whatever you want to call it. They've got a way of playing. They know their jobs. So it's not ideal, but you'd look to see. Obviously, Matt Target's going to come back into the team. He was eligible last weekend, and Emil Kraft at right back. He doesn't have too many options. There's a lot of fullbacks out of this club at the minute. But I think he's got to keep on playing the same way, the same system.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if it wasn't three wins in a row, I think there might have been a case for going to a five at the back. But I don't think you can change a winning team. So I'm in agreement. I think you've got to go to the back four and, you know, hope that Emil Kraft can... It's his place to lose now, really. If Manquillo's going to be out for a few weeks, Trippier's obviously out. Kraft's got to step up and show why he deserves a place in this team.
Obviously, if it was a back five, it brings kind of Jacob Murphy into play. But I think for this, I think you've got to be trying, even where you can, just stick with this way of playing.
And Jamal Lascelles could potentially be back in contention after missing Sunday's game due to illness. Where does he fit in the team?
Well, he doesn't for this game, in my mind. Eddie Howe has made a point a few times now of saying he's got to be loyal to the players that do well for the team. And on that performance, I know Lascelles has done well a week earlier. On that performance, I think you've got to stick with those two at the back. And as well, it gives that continuity because you're going to be changing fullbacks for this game as well.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest compliment you can pay. Dan Byrne and Fabian Scher, the first game together, looked like they've been playing together for a while. And just in front of them, that midfield, had Eddie Howe's been fairly consistent with the Joe Willock, Joe Linton and Jonjo Shelvey over the last three games. And they've got the three wins on the back of it. And Joe, when or where do you see Bruno Guimaraes fitting into this midfield at the moment?
I don't know. I don't think he does at this point. I think Joe Willock looks like the one who would potentially miss out if Bruno was going to come in, but he's done everything bar score a goal. I think the last few games, you know, his performances have improved massively, and I wouldn't change much in the defence. I wouldn't change that midfield three. I think it's worked. It's got a good dynamic. You know, you've got Joe Linton and Willock either side of Shelvey. You know, they do the running. Shelvey's there in the middle, you know, dictating play. I wouldn't change it. I think that I would like to see Bruno, as 52,000 other people would like to see Bruno play. But for now, I think I would just stick with our three.
I
tend to agree. I want to see him as well. We've kind of been excited by the little glimpses we've had, but that principally, he's got to stick with his midfield. They've all done well in their respective roles. But what I would like to see is him get more than just 2 or 3 minutes at the end of a game. And as we work towards a full debut, we know there'll be a suspension or an injury, and there'll be an opening probably sooner rather than later, given the way things are going at this club. But, you know, good 20 or more minute spell. And who knows, if things are going, let's hope not, against them at West Ham, it might need a change. It might take an early change. With 30 minutes left to unlock something to force something during the game. So I'm sure we're going to see a lot of him in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and Joe Linton, Jonjo Shelvey in that midfield. Joe, you mentioned Joe Willock as well. Really sort of improved under Eddie Howe. And another player who has on the right-hand side, Ryan Fraser as well. Like Miles said before, you could go through almost the entire team, but he's someone who has added a goal to his game. Looks to be getting in the right areas to start bringing more goals and assists and being a real threat for Newcastle.
Definitely, I think, is as I say, he's added the goal, but he's also, for me, the best thing about Ryan Fraser, especially recently, has been his work off the ball. He's constantly running back, I think our match of the day highlighted in the, you know, 80th, 90th minute, he was defending against Aston Villa. And that's what you want from your wingers. You want them to have the threat going forward, which, you know, Fraser and Saint-Maximin absolutely do have. But they also want them to work back, and that's what they're doing. And as you say, Fraser did well under Howe at Bournemouth, and he's showing that sort of form again. It's really good to see.
Yeah, and Miles, what have you made of the impact of Ryan Fraser's made over the past few games in the side?
Well, this looks like the Ryan Fraser we saw at Bournemouth. You know, energetic, enthusiastic, and he would have a threat at the other end of the pitch. Because my concern about him when the club signed him was that he hadn't kicked a ball in anger for 6 months, and that was essentially his problem. There was one niggle followed another, and he was never really fit enough to make any kind of impact or earn a place in the side and keep that place in the team. There was one thing after another with him, but with the benefit of this pre-season, you know, obviously a bit more luck with injuries, we're finally seeing what he can do. And it obviously a big help, of course, is Eddie Howe, who knows what he can do, because again he never really seemed to fit into the Steve Bruce's team. We saw him, we tried him one or two different positions before Howe's arrival, but he knows his role. They at the moment they all know their jobs, and they're getting results.
Yeah, one player who a new signing, Chris Wood, who different people I've spoke to have had sort of different opinions. I think still yet to score, which is what he'll ultimately be judged on. But he's one who maybe quietly is going about his business quite well, in my opinion. I was just wondering what you two think of Chris Wood's impact so far. He has scored 7 goals in 9 games against West Ham as well. So hopefully he can get off the mark this weekend.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably about right. Quietly going about his job. He's not had much luck in front of goal. He's not scored a goal. He was due to take the penalty at the weekend before it became a free kick. He's done very well in terms of a focal point, and the team needs that. And without Callum Wilson, they haven't got that. I thought it was interesting after the previous game, or ahead of the Aston Villa game, Eddie Howe very pointedly in his kind of comments talked about highlighting the work he'd done, praising him. It seemed a very conscious effort just to give him a little lift, a bit of a confidence boost, because he knows he's a striker and he's going to be judged by his goal scoring record, and he hasn't really made the kind of impact in and around the box that he would hope. But what he has been doing is giving that team that outlet. He's been doing a lot of our hard work outside the box, and I think Howe was keen to kind of acknowledge that and give him a little lift ahead of the Aston Villa game. And yeah, I think he's done well in terms of the role that he's been asked to do.
Yeah, and Joe?
Absolutely, yeah. I think he's done really well. It would just be nice for him to get that goal. When he had the ball for the penalty, I was glad to see it, because he could have easily shirked the responsibility, you know, new signing. There's probably a few people on that pitch who would like to have taken that penalty, but it was good to see the striker pick up the ball, you know, and say, you know, it's my chance. I think I had faith in him scoring. I don't know whether many did, but I would have been nicer and get a goal. But as you say, he's done everything off the ball he's needed to do, and it's no coincidence that, you know, Saint-Maximin and Fraser are enjoying probably some of their best spells in Newcastle shirt with a big target man, you know, who's dragging defenders away and getting them involved in play. So I've been impressed with him so far.
Yeah, he certainly keeps defenders busy and wins a lot of those aerial balls and to relieve the pressure and keep Newcastle up the pitch, which I think has been important. And on that penalty, to be honest, I was one where when he picked up that ball, I was like, oh no. So when it was a free kick and Trippier put it in, it was great to see. But moving forward, we've got West Ham on Saturday. Then after that, Brentford and Brighton. Is it too much to ask where Newcastle could be talking? They've gone on a very good run and they can build on this 3-game winning streak, this 5-game unbeaten run, and potentially by the time they play Chelsea next month, say, they could be almost out of relegation danger. Is that naive to think at this stage?
I think that's looking a little too far ahead. I'd love to say yes, but I know if I'm wrong, but we've seen all kinds of twists and turns and ups and downs already this season. I would just look at this West Ham and Brentford game, and if they can pick up some points, then great. And we'll see where we are, but certainly they can attack these two games and be confident of taking points. It's not a case of, you know, as we said a month or two ago, where you just didn't know where the next result or win was going to come from. There's that confidence there, and you can see them winning one of the two games. Though I don't want to tempt fate. A draw would be a great result against West Ham, given their form. But Brentford, obviously, is a different story.
Yeah, and Joe, how do you see things going over the next couple of weeks or so? Like I say, it's probably just the positivity that's surrounding the club get me thinking ahead a bit too much.
Absolutely. Why not? As I said, you've got to get carried away sometimes. I would, from the next three, I think you probably 4 points, I think, would be a good return if you can get, particularly the Brighton and Brentford games. I think West Ham's going to be very difficult on Saturday. You know, they're flying at the minute. But I think if you can get a win and a draw against Brighton and Brentford, that sets you up for that Chelsea game. And then what these three wins have done for that Chelsea game is it means they can go into it not needing a result necessarily. You know, there was always that worry that you have to go into games against Chelsea, some of the bigger teams, actually needing a result, but they can see it as a free hit. So I think the last three have been really good. If they can get 4 points from the next three, I think I would take that. I'd be happy.
They've certainly bought themselves some time, because, like, even if you look back to the Man U, the Watford game, those are games, okay, they drew, they probably should have won both of them, and then you could be talking about 5 wins in a row. But I think what these 3 wins have done in the 4-point cushion, you're going into this West Ham game where you're thinking, right, even a point's probably a decent result for Newcastle just to keep that unbeaten run going. And hopefully we're talking about 3 by the time we're next on the Mouth of the Time podcast. But for now, you can follow either, well, all of us, ideally, Miles Starforth, Joe Buck, or myself, Dom Skerr, on Twitter. You can also subscribe to the Shields Gazette for unlimited ad-like access of all of our Newcastle United coverage. Just head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions for more information on that. But for now, Miles, Joe, it's been a pleasure, as always, and thank you to everyone for listening to the first ever live Mouth of the Time podcast, and we hope you can all join us next time.